Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Join us every Saturday for a deep discussion about the biggest stories of the week. Go behind the scenes with journalists, political figures, and newsmakers to get a unique look at our city. And also, I want to hear from you, the listener. So please send any questions, critiques, or sponsorship inquiries to my email at hsanders@wweek.com. Thank you so much and enjoy this episode of the Dive Podcast. Welcome back to the Dive Podcast. I'm your host, Hank Sanders. Great to have you in today for episode 58 of the show on February 5th. We are joined today by freelance journalist Joseph Blake. We will be talking to him about his cover story, which profiles three black entrepreneurs, published last Wednesday for Willamette Week. So very interesting story as we kick off Black History Month in February. But before that, we have to bring you all the news, the biggest headlines of the week. This is the 90-Second News Flash. We're used to beginning these 90-second news flashes with updates on the governor's race, and this week is no different. What is different is the type of topic we're going to begin with. It's a little more salacious than you may be used to. I know, Portland's going crazy these days. Republican candidate Stan Pulliam made headlines after old screenshots of him appeared to tie him and his wife to a swingers Facebook group. He responded to this by telling Willamette Week that he and his wife explored mutual relationships with other couples before deciding that it wasn't the lifestyle for them. In other news, independent candidate Betsy Johnson won the Phil Knight sweepstakes earlier this week, receiving a $250,000 donation from the Nike founder. Mayor Wheeler is reportedly preparing an administrative rule that would ban camping around the city's planned safe rest villages. This rule would also ban camping on the route between a safe rest village and a transit area. Progressive advocates for homeless protection are not fans of this rule, and many are concerned that the administration did not consult the people most affected by it. One issue that's being brought up right now is the safety of homeless people while crossing the street. Last year, one-third of Portlanders who were killed by cars happened to be homeless people. This is very sad, and we really hope that the city addresses this. They ought to address this really soon. For where to drink this week, check out Wedgehead. They really have a great hot toddy, I'm told. And Sunshine Noodles is our dinner spot of the week. Well, there you have it. This has been the 90-Second News Flash. We turn now to our interview with Joseph Blake, the freelancer who brought us this week's Willamette Week cover story. Joseph shares the profiles of three leading black entrepreneurs. In this interview, I ask him how he came up with the story, and he gives us a behind-the-scenes look at the work these three people are doing. Take a listen. Willamette Week will oftentimes reach out to the freelance reporters themselves. Hey, I saw you doing work on this. I want you to bring this to Willamette Week, either as a cover story or an article. But you came up with this idea and you went to Willamette Week directly. Tell me about that. When did the idea of the story pop into your head? What's the thought process behind the story?
Yeah, so my thought process really started about like last year. I was working with Willamette Week, quite frankly, a lot. And so doing different cover stories, and February came around last year, and I didn't see any like big articles or big news stories about like just black entrepreneurs in Portland, or kind of like what I wanted to see, I guess, in a sense, from like a news company. And so what I did was this December, I reached out and I sent an email, like, hey, like, are you guys doing anything for Black History Month? If so, what are you guys doing? I kind of want to be a part of it. And so I got reached back and I got an interview and we talked about potential ideas, and I pitched an idea, which was the cover story now, and they accepted it and we moved forward with that one. So basically I just wanted to see like just something different, and I pitched the idea for it.
You have a more serious background, a more extensive background, I should say, in taking photos as a photographer. Tell me about that, as now you're turning it into a written piece, a very long written piece with profiles of individuals, leaders. What was that process like as you're thinking about which people to select in this story, as you're talking about, you know, how to word this story?
Yeah. So I've been working with a lot of black entrepreneurs here in Portland for a while. And I think these three in particular stood out to me as somebody I've worked with. But also like just their background and what they're offering, I guess, to the community. and it really stood out to me. And so I wanted to take their stories and really shed light on it, because they inspired me in a lot of ways just by working for them. But I feel like Portland should just like see what they're doing, just another light.
Yeah. And I want to double down into one of those in particular. And so the man named Jeremy Roberts, he created a company called Dash Doc. Tell us a little bit about what that company is, what it does, and then I'll have a follow-up question for you.
Yeah. So so Jeremy's brand, so Dash Doc, is a wallet brand. It's for safer traffic stops. And so basically what this wallet does is allows you to have your information on your Dash Doc without having to reach any compartments or your pockets for your wallet. It just makes it an easier attention when getting pulled over.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I went to Lincoln High School and I was going to all these events towards when I was graduating, where people were talking about the amazing new high school that they were going to build. And I remember one of the moments that stood out to me is somebody said, yeah, and the classrooms will have bulletproof glass. And I remember thinking that as like, because the threat of a school shooting, it would thwart that. It would save some lives. So it's like, now you're actually thinking not really about helping the system or changing the system. You're about working around it and how to manage it. And that's kind of the thing that came to me with Dash Doc, that the fact that we need this product because of the prevalence of Black individuals getting handled inappropriately, almost, and sometimes also leading to death at traffic stops, something that somebody like me doesn't have to worry about. So when you were doing this story and you're talking to Jeremy, is there a little bit of like, wow, it almost sucks that we need this product?
Yeah, most definitely. I think that there's a lot of layers to it. Not only with this Black individuals getting into heavy traffic stops with police officers, but I think a lot of individuals have witnessed a lot of, I would say, police brutality in the sense of like about traffic stops. And so this is one less way to make it smoother a bit. And so what Jeremy did, which I liked a lot, was that he mentioned that he worked with alongside police officers too as well. And so I was like, huh, like, you know, kind of took me a step back and kind of like realized like, okay, this is a full circle product. And so what he did was he's like, okay, I want to make it safer on both sides. And he says this in his article that that by working with them and working with the community as well, it just makes it so that everyone's aligned on the same page. That way, okay, hey, officer, it's easier for you to see my wallet now. And for a civilian like me, being able to have all my information right there, so that way it's reach for anything, and like the safety of that in my mind and the ease of it, it just makes it better. So I think what he's doing was great.
What's something that you want to take away from readers who are taking in this story?
What's something to take away? I would say a better tomorrow. And the reason why I chose these three individuals for this article in particular is because I feel like what they're doing in Portland in general, or just in the world itself, is creating a better tomorrow. And so they have the idea in mind that my product could one day potentially like save a life or change my mindset. So it's about like the idea of change. And I just really like that a reader can read this and say, hey, like, you know what, that wallet, I might purchase that for my son who's now starting to drive. I want him to have the safety in mind. Also, when he's leaving the house, he can have that wallet to make sure that it's just one less thing he has to worry about. And so I just think that each of these three individuals just really have like something special going on with their own individual businesses.
One of the things this podcast does is it doubles down. It goes a little bit deeper if you've read the story, right? Because you get to talk to the people behind the story. But also, if you haven't read the story, it can provide a little bit of insight on what the story is about. So let's now move on to the second of the third person that you talked to, and that's Rashad Frazier. So tell us about Rashad Frazier and his program.
Yeah. So Rashad, amazing dude. He has a company called Camp Yoshi. It's him, his brother, and his wife. And what they do is they make inclusive spaces for Black and brown folks and also allies to get to the outdoors without the worries of the outdoors itself. And so what I mean by worries is a lot of generational trauma from the outdoors or just the fear of the unknown. And so what he does is creates that a safety net for you. So you show up and everything's ready for you. You have guides, you have camp crew, and just a community that you build with in the outdoors. And so it allows you to free yourself in the outdoors.
Angela Medlin, tell us about her, third person that you talked to, and that kind of makes the three profiles that you spoke about. Tell us about her work.
Yeah, so Angela, one of a kind woman, I would say. I mean, she's incredible. The wisdom she carries, not only in dog knowledge, but just the world itself. is remarkable. I would say some of her work, she's worked for tons of companies, but what she's doing with her own brand House Dog is, I think, next level. The kind of product she offers, and also the thought processes behind it, is what drew me to her brand. The fact that she carries this inside of a non-toxic environment for her pets, or the product she has. So, you know, when you're buying her products, you know that the products won't cause your pet harm. And we can't say that every product we buy from, like, let's say Petco or other brands like that, will have the best interest for our pets and not the interest of making a dollar. What she cares about is the pet. And so her brand is all circled around pampering your dog, like a house dog. And so she offers like hoodies, leashes, dog toys, but also she offers adult hoodies as well, human hoodies, so you can match with your pet. And the you can tell when you get these, I have one of our hoodies as well, but it's made with love. It isn't just your standard hoodie you can just buy from the store. It's a custom fit hoodie that it really, you can tell the difference in the quality behind it. You can tell that it's an effort behind it. The way she packages her stuff, it just, it makes it feel like you know what you're buying, if that makes sense. And so every dollar you put into that company, you just know you're getting something good back. And so Angela just carries that same, just that wisdom piece and just that home and that love feel.
Joseph, thanks so much for stopping by. I appreciate it. Great work.
No problem.
Thanks, bye. Folks, a while back, you may recall our editorial staff at Willamette Week interviewed gubernatorial candidate Nick Kristof. Now, to end today's show, we are going to provide you with a small clip of that interview. Enjoy. This first question comes from Aaron Mash, and the question is, quote, what's an example of a hard problem you've tackled, unquote?
Genocide, poverty, homelessness, drugs. Those are all pretty hard problems and without easy solutions. And that has been what I've been reporting on my whole career, taking problems where there's often real disagreement and trying to bring people together to make a difference.
So you've written about all those issues very eloquently, and you've had impact on all of them. However, the governor of Oregon is the manager of 45,000 state employees and a general fund budget of $12.5 billion a year. What possible experience can you point to that would say, yeah, I can do that?
I bring the same experience that Tom McCall brought when he was elected. Tom McCall, of course, was a governor who was a journalist who had never been in the legislature. And what he brought was a skill set that I think is essential for a successful governor. It's articulating a vision for the state, using communications ability and a bully pulpit to rally people around that agenda, and then using the convening power of the office to help achieve it. And that's why we have a clean Willamette River, not because Tom McCall had spent his career as a middle manager somewhere.
But he had been an assistant to a congressman. He was Secretary of State. He covered Oregon politics for 15 years. So he really knew Oregon at a granular level. You don't seem to.
I've been in Oregon with folks who have been struggling and homeless and understand at a deeply granular level what happens when people don't get their rental assistance, when they don't get their unemployment checks, when they don't get drug treatment. And that kind of life experience, I think, is a pretty crucial element of understanding how to make a difference.
Can we take that example of rental assistance, since it's come up on the gubernatorial campaign already? So wave a semi-magic wand and you're governor in this minute. What would you be doing on rental assistance right now?
When the rental assistance were being, when they, I mean.
Like right now, we have a problem. there's 10,000 people out of Safe Harbor. I actually don't think we have a handle on how many people in Multnomah County and Washington County are impacted, but we have a rough number, 10,000 in the state, who face possible eviction or they don't have the protections, they don't have the money. What do you do right now?
Well, A, we need accountability for what went wrong and for determining this does not happen again. And B, given this crisis, when money is in the pipeline, money that we have, money that is owed to people, we can't let people be evicted when, you know, when there are already 23,000 kids who are homeless. We can't add to that because government screwed up in helping people who were entitled to that assistance.
So that means you call the special session, you make sure the Safe Harbor is extended. What does accountability look like?
I just find it incredibly frustrating that we have this government failure and that the remedy we're debating is calling another meeting to discuss it, when this is something that has, you know, been in the works, that has been known, that isn't a unique problem, because it reflects in a sense the catastrophe in the unemployment office. And so
well, management is frustrating.
Well, we
prevent manager.
We prevent people from getting evicted right now while the funds are in the way or in the pipeline, and we do our best to make sure it doesn't happen again.
That's the show, folks. Thanks so much for joining us this week. Join us next week for episode 59. We're pushing 60. We got a lot of special guests joining us, so make sure to keep following, liking, subscribing, tell all your friends. You know the drill. Till then, stay safe, keep reading, have fun. For Willamette Week, I'm Hank Sanders. We'll see you Saturday. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week. For more information on this podcast or the biggest stories in Portland, go to wweek.com and follow Willamette Week on all socials. We're doing some really cool things related to the podcast on our Instagram and Twitter. Includes giveaways, behind the scenes, etc. A lot of cool things coming your way, so give those a follow. Special thanks to our guests for joining us, and thank you to Aaron Mesh, Mark Zussman, and Brian Panganibon, as well as the entire Willamette Week family. Last but not least, thank you so much to Heather Witte and AmpMusic.co for the music that you hear on this podcast. For Willamette Week, I'm Hank Sanders. This has been the Dive Podcast.